Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Melbourne. You're on the Kiss My Arch show with Amy on Joy 94.9. The time is 1 minute past the hour of nine. We have got a huge show tonight on Kiss My Arts. Who knew computers could carry a tune? To honour the 100th birthday of computer scientist Alan Turing, the gay grandfather of modern technology, the University of Malaga in Spain has created a piece of music completely generated by computer to be performed by the London Symphony Orchestra. This is the first time a piece, which was not composed by a human, has been deemed good enough to be played by the LSO. Is this taking music and technology a little too far? What are your thoughts? Join the conversation on 0427 Joy 949. Also on Kiss My Arts tonight, what does the music you listen to say about you? One glimpse at the top 25 tracks in your iTunes can reveal a lot about you. I'll uncover the personality traits associated with listening to different genres. We'll also take a listen to some tracks from newcomer Kelly Brewer, who has been described as music's answer to a cup of tea. And joining us live in the studio, we have the band that is taking Melbourne and the world by storm. Described as the new Radiohead, Melbourne band The Black Chords are here with us on Kiss My Arts tonight to talk about their upcoming second album and share a few sneaky live tracks with us in the studio. But before we chat to them, let's take a listen to the incredible single off their forthcoming album. It's called Dance, 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 and you're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
That was The Black Chords with their fantastic new single off their forthcoming album. It was called Dance, Dance, Dance. Stay tuned because we have The Black Chords in the studio tonight to talk to us about their fantastic new music. Who knew computers could carry a tune? To honour the 100th birthday of computer scientist Alan Turing, the gay grandfather of modern technology, researcher Francisco Vico and musician Gustavo Diaz-Jerez, both from the University of Malaga in Spain, created a piece of music completely generated by computer to be performed by the London Symphony Orchestra. This is the first time a piece, which was not composed by a human, has been deemed good enough to be played by the LSO. The composition entitled Transits Into an Abyss was created by a cluster of computers at the University of Malaga. Until the composition was handed over to the London Symphony Orchestra, no human had intervened in preparing the music. The computer is essentially the composer. And as a composer myself, I'm not sure how I feel about this. Am I now redundant? The chairman of the LSO, Lennox McKenzie, said of the piece, and I quote, "I felt like it was a wall of sound. If you put a colour to it, this music was grey. It went nowhere. It was too dense and massive. No instruments stuck out at any point. But at the end of it, I thought it was quite epic. Music that is grey, huh? Perhaps I'm not out of a job just yet." The computer-written piece will be featured on a CD to be released in September this year. What are your thoughts? Have we taken the quest for new music too far? Some comments that have popped up online in response to this music include, and I quote, "Are we sure they aren't playing it backwards? What a waste of time, and more importantly, a waste of the LSO's talents. Actually, in the overall context of art music of the last, say, 75 years, this isn't bad music at all, and many human composers would be delighted they'd written it themselves." Well, what do you think? 0427 Joy 949. We'd love to know your opinion about computer-written music and essentially computer composers. The other topic I'd like to get your hackles up about or your opinion about is what the music you listen to actually says about you. One glimpse at the top 25 tracks in your iTunes can tell a lot about you. Introversion and extroversion are perhaps the two characteristics that most affect what music people tune into. Broadly speaking, and perhaps not surprisingly, extroverts are more likely to reach for upbeat music that's heavy on vocals, while introverts gravitate towards slower tunes with more complex instrumental parts. One surprise is that there's no connection between the abrasive lyrics often common in rap and heavy metal and aggressive or sexual behaviour. Listeners of heavy metal particularly have shown to be sensitive and gentle souls. In fact, they have a lot in common with classical music lovers. They're both creative, easygoing and introverted. Whether you listen to pop and rap or indie and classical, see what it says about you. I'll reveal some of the attributes of the music you listen to throughout the show. So make sure you stay tuned for that, because first up I'll be talking about dance, rap, indie, country, and of course classical as well. So text in your thoughts on 0427 Joy 949. I'd love you to join in the conversation tonight. Stay tuned, because we've also got the fantastic Black Chords live in the studio with us. But first, we have got this.
Hey, this is Jack from Bombay Bicycle Club, and you're listening to Kiss My Arts on Joy 94.9.
Hailing from Melbourne, Australia, Black Chords, fronted by songwriter Nick Millwright, have been widely acclaimed both on their native turf and in the UK. Acclaimed as one of the best Australian debut releases by Reverb magazine, and as a very exciting surprise from Down Under by Clash magazine UK, with critics raving about their darkly majestic collection of understated songs, recalls the best bits of Ryan Adams, Elbow and Jeff Buckley. Rolling Stone magazine have said, Melbourne quartet shoot for the stars on widescreen debut. From out of nowhere, four-piece Black Chords tick all the boxes and more. Tonight, in the studios here on Kiss My Arts, we have, drumroll, the Black Chords. Welcome to the show.
Hola.
Hello. And welcome back.
Thanks for having us back. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you too. You're looking as handsome as ever. Mm. It's been a couple of months since you guys were in the studio, and I believe you have been quite busy preparing your second album since then.
I feel like, what? Who's that character from the Looney Tunes who just like, it's Tazzy Devil. It's you, Dimmy. When he just like flies around in like this tornado, I feel like that.
Yeah,
that's where I've been.
You've been in a whirlwind tornado of making beautiful new music. So when you were in the studio a couple of months ago, this second album was still happening. It was still kind of being created, but I believe you actually have finished the process, and we are awaiting its grand release here in Australia and elsewhere. So tell us a little bit about what we can expect.
It's been five days since we've had our mitts on it, and it's
really
cool. Yeah, it's really new. It's funny, like it's a process that I think a lot of people wouldn't have gone through. We basically kind of at the last minute we'd got this producer in from France, David Odlam, who was in a band that I really dig called The Frames. Amazing Irish band. And he came out to do the record with us. And Mark Stanley from Red Room, who found us this big shed out in the middle of nowhere. So we kind of went in again in this whirlwind to record this record in 11 or 12 days or something.
Yeah, 11 days.
And then David flew out the afternoon that we finished at 5 a.m. and has been really busy. Won a Grammy I think about a week after he went back to France, and it's just been this weird process of kind of going, okay, we've recorded for 12 days, still kind of like experimenting and trying to find the sound and writing the songs as we go in many respects. And then he flew back to France and it was kind of just out there, and we had no idea what it sounded like, how it was going. And every week or so we'd get a little glimpse via Dropbox of a new mix or a new sound or kind of extra bits and pieces that we needed to do.
Yeah, I think it was about 12 weeks where we were waiting after this really like intensive time, and we'd never met him either as well. So kind of 2 weeks out from going in to record the album, he asked us to kind of shoot through our influences and what we're listening to at the moment and what we want to hear from the album. But yeah, I mean, as soon as we met him, we knew that there was that person that we wanted to work with, and that became immediately apparent when we actually started playing the songs to him. But yeah, it was quite strange to have had this amazing intense focus on music and then not hear anything for 12 weeks.
Like, what have we done?
Because it must be a really strange process to go into the studio and to immerse yourself in the creative process and, you know, writing day after day, or, I mean, not day after day in your case, I mean, in a fairly short period of time. And then what's it like to then have to sit back, wait, and then finally get your hands on the final sort of master copy of your work? Is there ever a moment where you're sort of disappointed in what's happened or the final product, or is it a feeling of elation, or what's the process like for you?
Well, right now with this recording, it's definitely elation. But there was that big fear of like,
what if it doesn't turn out the way we
want?
Yeah,
what if we get it back and it's like, this is the next album, and we have that kind of disappointment. It's the same with mixing. I mean, David mixed the songs for us and did an amazing job. Like, I couldn't be happier with the sounds that we've gotten back, but it is worrying when you kind of you leave it to somebody else to interpret that. And, you know, he was the person to go to for that because he was there when we recorded it.
Yeah, we just didn't really have the time to listen back while we were recording.
Yeah.
We had a really short period of time to do it. And each day, like, we'd finish at whatever, 2 o'clock in the morning, and we'd get back into our bunk beds in the room outside of the shed, and we'd all be like really over the moon, just kind of going, this was like, we feel really proud of what we've done. But then a couple of weeks had passed since we'd finished recording and doing these mammoth kind of 16 day recording sessions, and then you're like,
the doubt,
I have no idea.
The doubt starts.
Yeah,
to creep.
It's like, what?
What if?
Like, it's crap.
Mm.
But like, it's amazing. We've gotten it back 5 days ago, and we're like, we really like it.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow. So the actual experience of recording in the studio and creating a new album of work, how much pressure do you feel there is from either your fans, your colleagues, or your producers to create a certain type of sound? Or how much freedom do you actually have when you're in that recording space?
Yeah, we had a lot of freedom this time around. I mean, you can look at it as pressures. I definitely felt a lot more pressure in the first album because I wasn't much of a tonesmith when it came to guitar. So after that process, I realised what I had to do. So I was really excited this time around to just get in there and play and record. And
did you feel that you had more scope to experiment on the second album?
Yeah, definitely.
With different instrumental colours?
Yeah. We did the ring around, and I was lucky enough to get like Davey Lane's guitars from UMI and Dave Larkin's from Dallas Crane. So it was really good to have those there to be able to grab, and just a heap of guitar pedals. And yeah, I mean, that's always important when you're recording.
And how much time do you actually have in the recording process to experiment or to try out new things, or is it a very strict sort of schedule?
I think the whole thing, we really pushed ourselves to experiment constantly. And it was on the fly a bit. We were recording and experimenting and stuff. But talking about that kind of the pressures of recording and what, like, our preconceptions and things, what we thought people wanted. The recording process of the record was really good. It was really intense, but the lead up to it, from we put out this first record 3 years ago now, and it was kind of, it was something that we needed to do. We had no preconceptions that anyone would listen to it, and critically, like it did do well for us. We got to go on tour in Europe, and we got some great write ups, and we got an audience, and then from that, it was like we'd been touring for how many weeks, like a good part of a year, just being on the road, and
yeah, I think it worked out to be 6 months of that, no, more than 6 months of that year. It was gigs and band orientated mm-hmm. stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we were on a high from that. And then we came back and we did this shows with Powderfinger and Jet, and then suddenly went, okay, we've got to write. And that point then, for a good 6 to 8 months, was really difficult for me, and I think really difficult for the band. We're kind of we're just going, what are we writing? Like, we kept thinking we had to write a certain way because of, I don't know, just.
I guess it's hard to keep any kind of consistency as well, because when you're in the studio and you're recording and you're experimenting, it's just sort of happening in the moment. And then is there any kind of consistency throughout that process in the end result? I don't know.
I think for us, it didn't all start flowing until we committed to writing for ourselves rather than writing for what we thought we mm-hmm. had to do. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't coming. And we did some recordings with this great producer in the UK, and we did some recordings, demos back here in Australia, and every time we'd listen to them, we were like, that's just not quite right. It's like, what is it? It's like we're kind of ticking all the boxes in what we think we should be doing, but it's just not feeling it. And then something shifted last year where we just started writing again and not thinking about album, singles, audience. And that's when it just came. And this record, there's a lot of kind of, in some respects it's very introverted, in that a lot of the songs have come from these dreams or these ideas of really kind of self-reflective thing, but it kind of really works, and then it's got this flow to it which is really exciting. I really dig what we've done.
And you guys are busy later on this year with a whole lineup of tours around Melbourne and the rest of Australia, which we'll talk about more. But first, we're going to hear a little bit about newcomer Kelly Brewer. Penning upbeat folk rock tunes, singer-songwriter Kelly Brewer has not relied on the stories of heartbreak to write her songs. Instead, she finds the perfect balance between reflection, joy, and good old-fashioned songwriting. With song titles like Smile, It's Free, and Good People, listening to Kelly Brewer can only make you smile and feel good. With her music described as music's answer to a cup of tea, it blends together a number of influences from John Butler to Brandi Carlile. Having residencies around the state, Kelly has assembled a strong following, which has grown from playing renowned festivals, including Adelaide's Feast, Fuse and Fringe festivals, along with extensive touring. With a debut EP, Smile, It's Free, set for an August release, I think August 31st actually is the official release date, an official single release and tour in June, and a grant from Arts South Australia to support the release, the future is looking bright for Kelly Brewer. Now, I'd like to share her single from that EP. It's called Smile, It's Free. I'd like to know what you think about it.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Hello, it's Jens Jessen on Kiss My Arts Show on Joy 94.9.
Oh, bless Yantis, and such a good character, that one. One glimpse at the top 25 tracks in your iTunes can tell a lot about you. Whether you listen to pop or rap or indie or classical, see what it says about you and your personality. Apparently, according to online sources, which are oh so
believable.
If you listen to dance music, I might turn your mics on actually, because this is kind of interesting.
It is.
What does it say about us if we listen to the Black Chords, for example? Because you did actually use the word introspective.
Definitely introspective. Reflective.
Reflective.
Boring. Not really. I'm trying to sell it.
You're meant to be selling your music. Yeah, totally. Apparently, if you listen to dance music, you're quite creative, outgoing, assertive, but also a little uneasy. Interesting. What about rap? If you listen to rap music, apparently you have high self-esteem, you're very outgoing, and despite the stereotype, you're not actually violent or aggressive at all. So there you go.
Wow.
Indie music, or low self-esteem, creative.
It's funny though.
Intellectual, however, passive, curious, liberal, and slightly anxious. Jazz, soul, and blues. You have high self-esteem. Your dad?
Yeah, he's messy. Yeah, he's totally got out. So your high dad self-esteem. I just
has high self-esteem. He's quite creative and extroverted. Yeah. Quite curious. I'm seeing some overlaps here, though. He's assertive, liberal, intellectual, and open to new experiences. Is that your dad?
Totally.
I feel like I'm reading the horoscope or something.
Thank you, Jonathan Cater.
If you listen to country music, you're hardworking, conventional, conservative, and extroverted, and apparently emotionally stable. Since country music is often about heartache, researchers hypothesize that either emotionally stable people are attracted to country music or it has a calming effect. If you listen to pop or, you know, top 40 style of music, you have high self-esteem, you're conventional and hardworking, extroverted, honest, but also a little conservative. And last but not least, classical music. You have high self-esteem, you're creative, you're introverted, liberal, curious, and of course, very, very sophisticated. Wow. So if you think maybe a little bit differently to those very, very true and honest facts from the internet, we'd love to hear what you think about the music you listen to. 0427 Joy 949 in the studio tonight. They've been around in one form or another since 2005. But it was in 2006 that they first created a stir, when as an unsigned band, their video for Broken Bones won first place at Melbourne's prestigious St Kilda Film Festival, beating off competition from a host of established artists. In 2009, the same song went on to become a double finalist in the International Songwriting Competition for Best Rock Song and Video. It has now also been nominated for the 2011 St Helier Online Music Awards in the Best Video category. Tonight on Kiss My Arts, we are very, very excited and blessed to have the Black Chords live in the studio. Welcome again. We have Damien and we have Nick joining us tonight.
We're still here.
Make sure you stay tuned, though, because we are going to hear a little sneaky live track from them later on in the show.
What are we going to play? What do you want to play, Nick?
I don't know.
It's so sneaky that even they don't know. I believe there's going to be one track off your upcoming album. Speaking of your upcoming album, you have an upcoming tour. Do enlighten us as to where and when and how we can find out information about coming
to
see you live.
We're going to start off in Dimmy's. Dimmy is Damien for short. He's the neck of the woods.
Yeah, in Tasmania. In
Are you from Tasmania originally?
Yeah. I grew up there. I was born in Melbourne. I grew up in Tassie from like age 4.
Okay.
Yeah, in Devonport. So it'd be great.
So touring down to Tassie.
It's your first time.
And I believe you have a gig in Melbourne in September.
14th. Friday, 14th, September 14th.
Friday the 14th. Evelyn. Fantastic. So for us Melbourneites, we can hear you on the 14th at the Evelyn. That's fantastic.
Playing the album in its entirety.
When do we actually get to get our hands on this album, or is it still to be decided.
What a question. It'll be around the 22nd of August.
So it's bursting at the seams, ready to jump out onto our stereo players.
It's nice to actually have the album that's finished and we haven't got a date to release it rather than the other way around. We're like, we're releasing it like on the 14th of September and we haven't finished it.
So tell us a little bit about the nuts and bolts of the music on this album and how perhaps it might be different to the first.
It's a lot more, it comes from a lot more electronic based, I think, and certain angles on it.
Because you were mentioning before the word craft a lot, that you feel that you're more of a crafts person in this album.
Yeah. I think in the songwriting process as well, it came from the band a lot more. I know the first album was us kind of painting over the top of what Nick brought to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always going to happen in the band, but it was good to have songs that kind of came out of little guitar ideas or, you know, like a bass thing that's elaborated on, that kind of stuff.
I've always really wanted to get that kind of element of that collaborative kind of four-piece or five-piece or 20-piece, whatever it's going to be. Like, I've really wanted to collaborate with the band rather than just write and have a band paint around the back, because I know that I've got my way of writing and to work with people who we can bounce ideas and we believe in each other's ideas and we are inspired by each other's creative input. To have that, I think we're always going to push each other and things are going to morph into this new sound. And we've really kind of got there for this record, and it's awesome. It's been kind of pulled in these different directions by the kind of electronic aspects that Tristan has made on bass and then these amazing, beautiful kind of soundscapey guitar lines or just beautiful riffs that Damien's brought that's like sparked an idea for me, which I wouldn't have necessarily come up with.
So is it more of a collaborative writing process for the Black Chords? Do you sort of bring an idea to a session and then all work on it together? Is that
how?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and it's, obviously songs that we all have more in common with will probably last the test of time a bit more. And then, you know, you get to that moment of having a producer and a recording room, and one of the first things we did was play out the songs we had, and then it was like, all right, you're going to have to lose some of these.
You
know? And it's good because then for the next album, whether we choose to use them or not, we've got those songs.
So how many ideas do you bring to a session that just never really quite make it, or it's just not working? Does that ever happen? Surely it doesn't happen with the Black Chords.
No. I mean, it's the creative process, so it depends on how you feel on a certain day or, more importantly, how the other band feels about what you do, you know? So you
what's,
might
like one of the songs off the record that ended up making the cut that just wasn't getting there? It was like Sleepwalker or
I know. These are working titles too.
It's going to be the second song on the album. And it just was not working at all. But it had something about it. And every step of the way, it was like kind of, it was like we're going, it's got something, so we don't want to let go of it.
Mm.
And we've let go of all these other songs that we thought were quite cool, but for whatever reason, we've decided not to go with it. But Oh No kept hanging on just by this kind of tiny
frail thread.
Just something there.
But it was just like, and then we got to this point where it was like the verse, we were just like, that's awesome, but it's still not quite working. It's just like, it just doesn't quite sit right. And we're like, oh, what's like, we're loath to kind of just let it go at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kept working on it, and it got to the point where we wanted it to go. And I don't know, like it was just like bit by bit, like a jigsaw puzzle. And then in the end, it wasn't as far out as we kind of thought. We had to really pull it apart and rebuild it. But this song, it was kind of nice to know that like all of these other songs that didn't make the cut because of us thinking they weren't quite there, they've still got a a life in them somewhere. Mm. And this song, we kind of just kept persevering, and we got there in the end.
It's that thing as well. You do get the blinkers on with recording or in the creative process, and if you put something on the back burner for 3 months and then blow the dust off it and play it, that's 3 months where you've been listening to different things or trying out different sounds on your instrument. And
And what's the process like from the studio to the live experience? Is there a shift in your process or your approach to transforming the studio versions into a live version?
Yeah, I mean, the recording puts things under the microscope, and then you get every little layer that's been put together, and then there's a few songs with kind of multi-track guitar, so you got to work out how to get that wall.
It's kind of consolidating like 50 tracks into as minimal as we want, because we want to be able to play it live, like as live without backing tracks and things like that. And then there's like in the recording, you can be a lot more gentle, you can whisper into a mic, but when you're in a room of like 100 odd people and you've got drums blaring behind you, you've got to, like, even those gentle moments, you've got to project. And so I think, like, energetically, it's a lot higher energy live.
Mm.
And then we've consolidated these however many tracks that we've had in the recording into what we perceive as the most important things to ring out. But then equally, we start playing with some little different melodies that may not have ever been on the record. And it's kind of cool.
It's really cool.
It's got a life of its own. It's continuously evolving, I guess.
Broken Bones, the first single that we did on the first record, and because of what it did with like winning the St Kilda Film Festival, and all the other kind of being our first single out there, it kind of got the most attention, and people seem to kind of be drawn towards that. So for that specific reason, we've always kind of kept it in our set, and we all really dig playing it, and it's got this life after 3 years of playing it. And that's really nice to kind of think that we're not sick of this song. We really like it, and it just keeps morphing and changing.
So Dance Dance Dance, I believe you've just made a video for the Dance 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 single. Tell us a little bit about that process.
So we've come into this whole recording process being an independent artist completely and funding it independently. We've kind of gone out there to this website called Possible, and we've asked our fans if they want to kind of donate money, and that's been an amazing response, which has helped us create this thing. But we've still been kind of very conscious of, we've got barely any money. What most artists would pay for a record and putting out a single and putting out a video clip. And we've worked with Katie and Tov, who did our At World's End clip, who have been amazing and worked essentially for very little, if not anything. And we wanted to capture this big shed that we'd been recording in. We wanted to capture the process of recording and what it's like to do that, a bit of a fly on the wall kind of idea, like a bit of a documentary kind of idea for this clip, instead of kind of standing in front of cameras and really kind of rocking out with our cocks out kind of thing, like just posing, I guess, and without having a big narrative, because we couldn't afford a big like different sets and stuff. So we wanted to get a kind of quite a natural look, and we went in and we shot about 5 hours of footage of us just in the studio recording, eating, doing our things, rehearsing through the songs, and then we worked with Billy Brown at Active Motion in South Melbourne to edit together this clip, and it came out as this really, I don't know, really honest kind of clip.
Represents where we're at.
Yeah, I've taken a look at it, and it is actually really, really good, because I think a lot of music these days is so polished and just so shiny that there's no insight into the personality of the band. And you really get that with your with your clip, and you really feel like you're kind of connecting with you on a more personal level, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah,
for
it's good to get it, there, and also to, you know, show the space that we're in as well, because that was such a thing, listening to the album, and there was a lot to draw from in that space. I mean, the first time we saw it was in the depths of winter, this massive big fireplace, and, you know, record the album, and it was like stinking hot, you know, flies going around everywhere, and so we saw the both sides of it in this shed, but, you know, it comes across really well in the video clip.
And are we able to check it out? So is it on YouTube?
Yeah. Just look up Black Chords Dance Dance Dance
and you'll find it. Fantastic. Stay tuned, because coming up next, the Black Chords are going to play As Night Falls for us live in the studio. You're on Kiss My Arts with Amy on Joy 94.9. The time is 9:45.
Joy 94.9.
Ever wanted to learn how to make radio? Joy 94.9's Taste of Radio training course will teach you all about on-air presentation, interviewing, studio operation, media law, digital editing, and more. Classes run regularly throughout the year, one evening a week, 6:30 to 9:30 for 8 weeks. Applications for our September courses are now open. Hurry, you must have your application and payment forms completed and return to courses@joy.org.au. That's courses@joy.org.au before August 17th. If you'd like to learn all about Joy 94.9's Taste of Radio training course, head to joy.org.au, click on the Get Involved tab and select Taste of Radio. Visit joy.org.au and remember, you have to have your forms sent into courses@joy.org.au before August 17.
Hi, this is JD Sampson, and you're listening to Kiss My Arts on Joy 94.9.
You're on the Kiss My Arts show with Amy, and I have the fantastic Black Chords. I have Damien and Nick from the Black Chords, guitars in hand, ready to serenade you, or you introverted types that like indie rock. I believe you guys are going to play a little track called As Night Falls.
Yeah, this is a song called As Night Falls that we wrote for a Melbourne feature film called Blame.
Take it away.
As night falls, I wait for hours and it won't stop. Buzzing in my eardrums like an air. I cannot seem to wake from the alcohol. There's nothing left here for us. Control.
In Australia, their single As Night Falls, which you have just heard them perform for us live in the studio, and album track These Lights were included on the soundtrack to the Australian film Blame, which premiered at the Melbourne International Film Festival. Tracks from their debut album have also featured on the Australian series Underbelly Razor. To top off the year 2010, the band were invited to open for Powderfinger and Jet at the 12,000 sellout My Music Bowl show on October 29th for what was Powderfinger's final ever show in Melbourne. Tonight on Kiss My Arts, we have had the pleasure of having the Black Chords join us and perform for us live in the studio. Thank you so much.
No worries, it was a pleasure.
Fantastic. So before the break, we were talking about your track Dance, Dance, Dance and the video that you made for that, and also about the crowdfunding website Possible, which I guess makes all of this possible. What's your experience so far with the crowdfunding experience?
It's been really good because it is quite a daunting thing to ask for money.
Mm.
So yeah, you know, we had a $5,000 goal mm-hmm. through Possible, and you know, we put it out there around Christmas time last year as well. So that's kind of in the back of your mind as well, that it's probably the one time of the year where you don't want to be asking for donations for yeah. your creative project. But yeah, we got the money, we got the support from some really amazing fans. So
I think it's kind of cool that it art is something that's out there for the people, and it's kind of like to support art and to give a damn about it and what it created speaks so loudly, and mm-hmm. and for us it's like to see people who give a damn about what we're doing and want to hear stuff from
you
us.
You guys are independent. I mean, you're your own boss. You're not signed to a label. And are you planning on staying independent, or what's your hope for the future with that?
Depends, really. You know, mm-hmm. If we came across a label that, you know, got where the angles that we're coming from and wanted to sustain that, you know, then you definitely jump at that opportunity. But I think it helps being independent because, you know, you make the decisions at the end of the day on what you're releasing when it comes to and who you're working with. So you call the shots when it comes to your sound and your direction. So
we know what we want to create, and we want to create that. So if we had a partner come aboard and help create that with us, then that's great. But if we have to do it by ourselves, then that's the way we do it.
Mm.
Mm. Thank you so much to the Black Chords for joining us on Kiss My Arts tonight. You can head to their website, which is blackchords.com, and that's chords as in C-H. O-R-D-S, blackchords.com, or you can also check out their facebook.com/blackchords. And if you're keen to check out the film clip to Dance, 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 which they've just spoken about, you can type that into YouTube and hopefully you can check it out there. Nick's just got to tune up for the very last performance of the night. What are you going to play, guys?
All the good things.
All the good things. Before you play All the Good Things, we have just got this.
Joy 94.9.
The time is 4 minutes to the hour of 10. You've been on the Kiss My Art show with Amy on Joy 94.9 and with the fantastic Black Chords live in the studio. Coming up after Kiss My Arts, we have a wonderful new program called Our Voice. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a great one tonight. Taking us up to the top of the hour, we've got the Black Chords performing for us again live in the studio, this time with a track called
All the Good Things.
All the Good Things.
Thanks.
Take it away.
Kiss My Arts.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.